The round of 16 is really taking shape. Benfica held their nerve, the victors in a 7-goal thriller with Juventus. They're through to the knockout stages, along with Paris Saint-Germain, who scored 7 all on their own. Mbappe, Messi and Neymar on the score sheet against Maccabi Haifa. Chelsea progress, as do Borussia Dortmund, after shutting out their former star Haaland and Manchester City. While Leipzig have claimed an iconic win in their short history, beating the mighty Real Madrid. So much to get into as we review Tuesday match day 5 in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly. Okay, let's get into it. So much drama in the Champions League on Tuesday. John Bradley and Jonathan Beck, our commentators for two of our main matches, join me now. John, you're on Benfica 4, Juventus 3. What on earth happened?
Well, we've got one of European football's most vibrant attacking sides right now, and Benfica certainly caught the eye last season with their performances in the UEFA Champions League when they dispatched Barcelona down to the Europa League, and they've taken another big scalp this season by getting rid of Juventus. And they've done it with a great stylish brand of football. Cavalier attacking play with players coming from all angles and attacking from every single possible position in the middle. Little Rafa Silva is a master, scored twice tonight, could have scored 4 or 5 for his first ever career hat-trick. He was the catalyst, but, you know, that isn't just to say that those around him had little bit parts. They were brilliant as a team. By the time Juventus came back at 4-1 down, they could have been 7 or 8-1 down. To their credit, needing to win the game to stay in the competition, they got 2, couldn't get any more, and they're out at this stage for the first time in 9 years.
And Jonathan Beck was watching Borussia Dortmund as they somehow finished goalless with Manchester City.
Yeah, it was a really, really entertaining game, even for a goalless draw. Dortmund dominating the first half with the better opportunities. Manchester City with the territory and the possession in the second period. Not their usual vibrant selves. Erling Haaland surprisingly taken off at half-time as City failed to have a shot on target. They missed a penalty for the second successive Champions League game. Riyad Mahrez failing again from the spot. And in the end, both sides got what they needed to progress. So City through as group winners, Dortmund through in second place. And a decent boost, building on that 5-0 win at the weekend. They'll be happy to have made it through, having not made it through last season.
And also joining us is European football expert Kevin Hatcho. Kev, normally there's one or two other major results to pick up, but there are crazy scorelines and dramatic events all over the place from Tuesday.
I love this competition. Isn't it great? Everywhere you look, there's stories, there's goals, loads of things happening. Paris sparkled. That's the dream for them, having Messi, Neymar and Mbappe all contributing, scoring lots of goals. Thought Milan did brilliantly in Zagreb. You know, that was an excellent result for them, which is a big step forward for them in a very tight group, actually. Iconic win for Leipzig. Arguably the best result in their history, really. I mean, obviously, you talk about them winning the DFB Pokal, which is the German Cup last season, their first ever major honour. But to beat Real Madrid is a massive step forward for the club, and obviously a big step forward in the group. But Shakhtar, I have to give massive credit to as well, because they're hanging in there. So there are some great stories everywhere you look.
OK, here are the scores then. Group E, Salzburg 1, Chelsea 2, Dinamo Zagreb 0, AC Milan 4. Group F, Celtic 1, Shakhtar 1, Leipzig 3, Real Madrid 2. Group G, Sevilla 3, Copenhagen 0, Borussia Dortmund 0, Manchester City 0. And in Group H, Paris Saint-Germain 7, Maccabi Haifa 2, Benfica 4, Juventus 3. Well, let's start then with the group we finished with there, Group H. Juventus knew anything but a victory against Benfica would see their knockout hopes disappear. Kev and John, watch this one.
Delivery is in and it's a super header. Benfica have the perfect start and it's their teenage sensation, Antonio Silva. As Benfica have the first bit of defending to do from a set piece, and it comes down in and turned home on the goal line. It's Dusan Vlahovic who turns the ball home. Juventus need some heroics from their goalkeeper. Right footed, João Mário, 3 steps, top corner, sends the goalkeeper the wrong way. Benfica 2, one. What a goal! Incredible finish by Rafa Silva with the instep of his right heel through the back of his legs. Goalkeeper, no chance at all. Benfica 3, Juventus 1. Rafa Silva dinks it over the goalkeeper. It is absolutely sensational from Benfica. They have 4 now. Well, the ball is delivered by Ilin Junior and a shot on the volley by Arkadiusz Milik. A swivel half turn, left foot volley, bottom corner of the net. It's Benfica 4, Juventus 2. And it's blocked on the goal line. It might still be turned home. It is. It's 4-3. And all of a sudden, we've got a game on in Lisbon. Weston McKennie, after a crazy goalmouth scramble, life again in this game. It's Benfica 4, Juventus 3.
And believe it or not, Juventus did have chances towards the end to actually go on and win the game 5-4. But Benfica held on, and they get the win. Let's go back to the first half, John Bradley, who joins us now. Perhaps let's take it back to the 1-1 goal and Benfica's reaction to Juventus getting that equaliser.
Yeah, obviously, at his 13th start in senior football, Antonio Silva, the 18-year-old defender who came in because of injuries at the start of the season and hasn't looked back, scored a glancing header to put them in front. Vlahovic turned the ball home, although it was on the goal line, so Moise Kean might have got the final touch. It's been put down as a Moise Kean goal. But 2 minutes later, rather than going into their shell, such is the way that this Rogoschmidt side plays, straight back in the face of Juventus, they earned themselves a second goal, got themselves in front, and they never really looked back from that, you know, the penalty and the Rafa Silva goal, which was impudence.
It's outrageous.
It's the hardest goal to describe, the one where the cross comes in.
There's no word for it, is
and
there yet?
You go with your heel or the instep and flick it through your legs. And so we just have to call it the Rafa.
Yes.
The Rafa Silva or something.
But the
everyone
cross
knows
to
what the
perfect.
Goal means, but it hasn't got a everything else has got a name, you know, yeah. Penenka or you know, all the little moves. But they were brilliant first half. They were sensational. The Super Eagles are soaring right now. They're playing this brand of football that is high octane, very intense. They want to drive forward at every opportunity. They're strong defensively, but they've got a real creative spark to them all over the field. Everyone knows the job, and everyone's doing it really well. They won at Porto to open up a commanding gap in the Premier League at the weekend. They've cruised through this group without really any concern at all. They were really good home and away against Paris, and now, of course, they've done Juventus as well. So, you know, they've sent Juventus out of the competition, and deservedly so. They really deserve to go through.
I think what Rogoschmidt's done is he's brought that brand of football that John's just described so well, and it's the work without the ball as well. The press is excellent. It's energetic. He demands a certain level of fitness. But it's also about belief. And when a coach comes in and he shows you a way of playing that gets you results from the get-go, that just solidifies that bond between the coach and his players. Straight away, Rogoschmidt, after the final whistle, went to Rafa Silva. They hugged. He knows he's the heartbeat of this team. But John's right about something else as well. He's not the only player. João Mario was outstanding. Talk about that goal that Rafa Silva scored, that little back flick, the Rafa. That can't happen if João Mario doesn't pull off to the right-hand side, and it certainly can't happen if he doesn't put the perfect cross in with the best amount of pace, perfectly judged. So that's the positive thing. And then you look at Juventus, and they have key players out. So no Chiesa, no Pogba, no Di Maria. So that's the first thing. This is a team that's
without five starters probably tonight.
Yeah.
And all five players who came in bolster them in the summer.
But I think this goes deeper. I think this is about, I said in the commentary, it's a modern team against an old school team. And there's a big debate in Italy at the moment, and this won't make that go away. Max Allegri has been a hugely successful coach. Can that reactive football, where you don't press, where you invite the opposition onto you, can that be successful at the highest level? This group stage campaign has shown maybe it can't. So they have some serious thinking to do as a squad. He has as a coach. Where do we go from here? Because they were shredded. I know they came back late on. but that was Benfica kind of easing off a bit, and a very good young player in Samuel Ealing Jr. coming on and changing the game. But ultimately, Benfica just looked sharper, better in every single department.
Napoli and Juventus are light years away from each other in the way they're playing right now. And you look at that Spalletti side and the way they play with the same sort of vibrancy and in-your-face style as Benfica are, and with Kvaratskhelia, who's catching attention, but put into a blend that works really nicely. And it feels as though you've got these old wooden blocks in the wooden holes for Juventus, but not, you know, with the springs attached to them that Benfica players have got and Napoli players have got. And there's a big difference between it at the moment.
Paris Saint-Germain, in the other game in the group, won 7-2 against Maccabi Haifa to qualify.
Yeah, one stage Benfica were actually top of the group when they were 4-1 up on goal difference.
Oh, really?
They were top of the group. That's when it was 4-2 to Paris.
Yes.
So it's all turned around. But it's going to be great on match day 6 because top spot's up for grabs still.
It certainly is. Leo Messi scored twice. He also assisted 2 in the game. Mbappe scored 2. Neymar got 1. Abdoulaye Seck scored twice, 2 headers for Maccabi
Haifa. Man of the match, yeah.
I haven't actually checked. I haven't seen who's been given that, actually. It'd likely be Messi with 2 goals to assist. Yes, it was Messi, in fact, we've been told. Carlos Soler with the other. So in terms of the group, I mean, extraordinary situation, really, that Juventus would have had... People would have had Juve going through from this group, easy. And they definitely wouldn't have had Juve with 3 points after match day 5. That I think is their lowest ever group stage tally at this point.
Well, I mean, only twice in the last 20 years have they failed to qualify from the group stage of the UEFA Champions League. They've got such a proud history in the competition. The last time they finished 4th in the group was 21 years ago. And Maccabi Haifa were in the group as well, so they finished above them. So that doesn't bode well for them on match day 6. It's been a great group, and Benfica showed last season with their performances against Barcelona that they were not to be taken lightly. I don't think Juventus took them lightly. I just think Benfica are better than them now.
I've got enormous respect for Max Allegri as a coach. You can't have the CV he's got, won the amount of trophies he's won, without being an incredibly good coach. But football moves really, really quickly. And what happens these days is that if you play in a certain reactive way, you give the initiative to the opposition really early on in a game. And that's exactly what happened in this game against Benfica. Because in the first 10 minutes, they were able to say, OK, we're going to play our way. We're going to push into your half and we're going to hem you in. And Juve had nowhere to go. And eventually they got back in the game. But you've got quality players in that Juve team all over the pitch. They can't get the ball to them. Vlahovic spends big stretches of the game miles away from the midfield. So there are tactical tweaks that are going to have to happen if they're going to step forward as a football club.
Still paying the price for not winning the competition when they put all their eggs in the one basket, signed Cristiano Ronaldo, and it really upset the balance and the rhythm of the team. And it's like similar to an NFL team when they think they can win the Super Bowl. They recruit all the really big name players, high expensive players, and it doesn't work, and it takes them years to rebuild after that. They've got to get rid of everyone, and it takes a long time for them to recycle it. So that's probably where Juventus are right now.
Juve host Paris Saint-Germain next, and Benfica go to Maccabi Haifa, who, in fairness, have been scoring goals in this group and have beaten Juventus in this group.
And it's great. Have fun. That's what you're here to do. You know, you probably looked at it and thought, they're not going to get through. But have fun. Let's try and entertain and let's go and give the fans something to shout about.
And they might be in the Europa League ahead of Juve. You never know. We'll see on a match day 6. OK, let's move on to Group E now. We'll touch on Dinamo Zagreb against Milan in just a moment. But first, to Austria. Salzburg taking on Chelsea. Mark Scott and Jenna Scalacci were watching.
Kovacic! Oh, what a goal! Mateo Kovacic, first time strike, side foots it into the top corner. That is a banger from Kovacic to put Chelsea in front. The first serious shot on goal, arrows into the roof of the net.
And this is much better from Salzburg, trailing by a goal to nil, but on the attack on the left-hand side, and the early ball, it is useful, must be, 1-1. Junior Adamu is there, Salzburg back level, 3 minutes into the second half. Havertz, D of the area, oh my word, that is absolutely fantastic from Kai Havertz. A bending effort from the D of the box, clips the underside of the crossbar and bounces in. The second stunner of the night for Chelsea. Salzburg 1, Chelsea 2.
And Mark Scott joins us now. Mark, two screamers have seen Chelsea into the round of 16, and given their start to the competition, they'll be relieved to be through.
Yeah, absolutely. Graham Potter will be delighted. I think that it's arguable that that was the best 45 minutes of his time in charge of Chelsea, because they really did dominate the first half, and had it not been for a brilliant performance by Kern in the goal for Salzburg, they could have been out of sight. But it's quite a turnaround, isn't it? They started their UEFA Champions League campaign with Thomas Tuchel in charge and a 1-0 defeat in Croatia against Dinamo Zagreb. But Potter now unbeaten in 9 matches in charge, and it means that they have qualified as group winners with a game to spare, which he will be delighted with.
Yeah, beaten by Dinamo Zagreb in their opener. But since Potter took charge, 10 points from 4 matches in the Champions League. Let's hear from the former Brighton boss.
Delighted. Fantastic performance, I thought, from the players. Showed real courage here because, you know, the atmosphere, the way they're so intense, they're putting you under a lot of pressure, but we thought we controlled it quite well and attacked well, created some chances. A bit disappointing to only be 1-0 at half-time. One mistake or one action from them, which can happen at this level, but then we responded really well. Great goal from Kai, and I think overall we deserve to go through. It was hard work, but it's going to be at this level. That's how it is. Away from home in the Champions League, so complicated with the crowd, with the team, with the quality that they have. But overall, I thought we played well. Like I said, created some chances, scored 2 good goals, and responded well to when we had the setback. So overall, delighted for the players. They've been fantastic.
The margin by which Graham Potter's side would have won would have been far greater were it not for Philip Kahn in the Salzburg goal, who was excellent, Mark.
Yeah, brilliant. He made some outstanding saves. He kept out a deflected header from Aubameyang before also doing the same with his leg when he was one-on-one. There was bravery, there was agility. He was a standout performer for them, and he can be proud of his display.
In a moment, we'll hear from Kev on the other game in that group, Dinamo Zagreb against AC Milan. But first, let's hear from two Chelsea teammates. Mateo Kovacic scored the screamer. Conor Gallagher had a good view of it too.
It's a great finish. I couldn't believe it, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, I think to get that first goal was very important, and it definitely helped us out and gave us a bit more confidence in the game. So it's a great finish. Nice goal.
Thank you.
Everybody's telling the same, that I don't score many, but yeah. Not many, but this one was a nice one. But as I always say, important that the team wins, and who scores the goals in the end is less important. It's nice to score where I was born. My parents are here, my friends, so very nice to score on this occasion, and very happy about it.
Mateo Kovacic speaking there after his goal. Chelsea through. AC Milan now a point above Salzburg in the group, Kev. And the two sides meet on match day 6. Milan 4-0 winners at Dinamo Zagreb. And as Chelsea know, not an easy place to go, the Maximir.
No, and I think what it shows is Milan have learnt a few lessons from last season when they finished bottom of a very, very tough group. And once Gabbia got the opening goal, they ran away with it. And Rafael Leao is such a hard man to pin down. I mean, his goal was absolutely outstanding. And that really shattered any resistance that Dinamo had. And they've actually played really well at home. So that is a terrific result for Milan. It'll give them great momentum and great confidence going into that game against Salzburg. Don't count Salzburg out, though. They are, as they showed, similar to Benfica in a way, in that Matthias Jeisler says, OK, this is how we play. There is no negotiation, there is no alternative, this is how we play. It doesn't matter if we're at home, doesn't matter if we're away, this is how we approach the game. So that's going to be a test for Milan.
By the way, Chelsea have won the group, in fact, in Group E with 10 points, Milan 7, Salzburg 6, Dinamo Zagreb 4. Match day 6, Chelsea host Dinamo Zagreb, Milan at San Siro, 1 point above Salzburg, a straight shootout for the round of 16. That might, just might, be a feature game on Match Day Live. Still to come, we review more of the action from the first night on Match Day 5 in the Champions League.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Group F, RB Leipzig have beaten Real Madrid by 3-2. Now, let's not forget that Leipzig did reach a Champions League semi-final under Julian Nagelsmann, and they have won silverware. But Kev, von Fuller of German football, where does this rank in their history to beat the defending and really the team to beat in Europe?
It's arguably their best ever result, really. I mean, you're right to say, you know, you think about Tyler Adams scoring against Atletico and getting them through to that semi-final. Obviously, that was massive. Winning their first ever trophy last season, beating Freiburg in the DFB Pokal final was massive. But this is, you know, you're rubbing shoulders with European royalty. There's no question about that. And you've beaten them. So it's a terrifically important result for the club. But it's a terrifically important result for the campaign because it gets them into a position where they've got a great chance of making the last 16. It reinforces Marco Rose's position as coach. Not that he was under any pressure. He's only just got there. But he's now put together a really good body of work at home. It's away from home they need to start performing. But at home, they've been scoring goals. They've beaten Dortmund now. They've just beaten Real Madrid. They've been not conceding that many, scoring threes, fours. So they've been excellent on home soil. Christopher Nkunku, I know I go on about him all the time, but I'm going to do it again. He is just a remarkable football player and just a remarkable guy. He had, he played with a fractured wrist for the last couple of weeks. And he had an operation a few days ago, had a screw inserted, and scored a free kick to get them back in the game at Augsburg at the weekend. Brilliant free kick. And they ended up coming back from 3-0 down to draw 3-3. And they scored a brilliant goal against Real Madrid, the second goal. So he just goes from strength to strength. He got 35 goals last season. He's in double figures already. It was a couple of weeks ago in all competitions. What a player.
Kvaratskhelia put them ahead 13 minutes and Nkunku in off the bar on 18. We love seeing an in off the bar goal.
Yes.
Vinicius Junior pulled one back before half time. Werner came on. He scored in the second half. Rodrigo converted a penalty in added time. But the it was beyond repair at that point. Real Madrid top the group with 9 points at the moment. Real Madrid have 10 points. Leipzig 9. Shakhtar 6. And quite brilliantly, as this competition tends to do, Leipzig looking to keep hold of second, but they go away to Shakhtar next in the competition. If they lose there, they're out. Because Shakhtar drew 1-1 at Celtic. This is what we need to get to next. They were 1-0 down. Giakoumakis with the opener. Mudryk with a stunning equaliser. Let's hear from Shakhtar's midfielder, Taras Stepanenko.
In the start of the group stage, nobody thought that we can play like this, that we can deserve this result. So now we have possibilities to play in Champions League too. We won against Leipzig away, so we had good possibilities to win at home. We play a great game against Real Madrid. We conceded goal almost 20 seconds before the final whistle. So all could be. We will fight. We have good, strong young team, and we are going to win too. Why not?
Well, I think we're all looking forward to that game now, Kev. Shakhtar have one win in the group stage this season, 3 draws, it's why they're on 6 points, but that win came at Leipzig. How different a prospect to Leipzig now to the team they beat on match day one so convincingly in Germany?
They are different. That was a very chaotic display that Leipzig produced against Shakhtar in that game. They made a lot of mistakes individually and collectively. They've obviously changed coach. But as I say, Leipzig away from home right now under Marco Rose are simply not the same team as Leipzig at home. All of the pressure really is on Leipzig in a way, because Shakhtar, for me, win, lose or draw, one of the great stories of the UEFA Champions League this season, because given all of the disruption they've dealt with, for obvious reasons, to have pushed it this far in the group stage and done it in style as well, they've not been scraping results, they've been playing really well, I think is remarkable. And Mudryk, I talked about Nkunku, there's a rising star as well, Mudryk. The way he plays, the pace, the skill, the personality. He's a terrific young player.
That game in Warsaw should be absolutely sensational in a few days' time. OK, let's switch to Group G, to events in Germany where Borussia Dortmund were taking on Manchester City. The game finished goalless, but City had this great opportunity to win it in the second half.
Penalty to Manchester City. Riyad Mahrez won it. Emre Can tripped him on the edge of the area. 57 on the clock. It is Riyad Mahrez standing over the ball to take it himself against Gregor Kobel, who saves it, pushes it away. Mahrez went to his left-hand side. The goalkeeper flying to his right. It's still Dortmund 0, Manchester City 0.
And once again, Riyad Mahrez fails to convert for the penalty spot. I wonder if he'll be given another chance in a City shirt. Jonathan Beck, you heard him there, and he joins us now. Jonathan, the story of this one, how did a game between Borussia Dortmund and Manchester City finish 0-0?
It's a strange one. Where do I begin? I don't know, because you look at the attacking talent on show from the off, and you would think this is a game absolutely chock full of goals. Dortmund got their tactics right, I would say, in the first half. A 4-5-1, which stifled City. They didn't have a single shot on target. Dortmund themselves used the space in behind City's high fullbacks with Adeyemi and Reina. Adeyemi broke through on three occasions. One he went himself, probably should have scored and or at least passed it. One he slid across to Gio Reina back in the side and looking quite sharp after that layoff, couldn't score. And then City rather consumed control in the second half. They had more of the possession, they had more of the territory, but Erling Haaland wasn't anywhere to be seen. He'd been taken off and Bernardo Silva put on to try and make a little bit more creativity because Mats Hummels had his old teammate in his pocket in the first half. They did win the penalty, which you heard there. Riyad Mahrez tripped by Emre Can, missed it. Had Haaland been on the pitch, I'm sure he would have taken it. And then they carried on having all the territory, not quite testing Gregor Kobel to the same extent. So they haven't won and they haven't scored in three successive away games, which is surprising. So maybe there's a little bit of hope there for a struggling Leicester City side. Manchester City going away this coming weekend again. From Dortmund's perspective, Jude Bellingham had the chance to score in every single Champions League game. He now didn't, so no one this season can do that. He did it in four, but no more.
OK, well, let's get the reaction from Pep Guardiola, who spoke about that aforementioned decision to take Haaland off at half-time.
We play much better second half, and the first half we lost some balls that we consider counterattacks from them, that they are so fast. We suffer, I think, the fact that our game on Saturday was so demanding, physicality and the trip and everything, and we were a little bit tired. But we achieved what we wanted, top of the group again, one more year, so we'll qualify. We'll be in the last 16 next time, so yeah, really good. Erling Haaland feel good, have a little bit fever before the game, Joao as well, both. Have a knock in his feet. I saw him tired, Joao as well, so that's why we change it. So in that period, always we struggle a lot.
Well, it's enough to win City the group. Dortmund finished second and are through. Sevilla go into the Europa League after a 3-0 win against Copenhagen. En-Nesyri, Isco and Montiel with the goals there in Spain. Isco winning the Player of the Match award. What a goal from him, by the way. Let's get players of the match from all of our games in the UEFA Champions League. Starting with you, John Bradley, watching Benfica versus Juve. This is easy, isn't it?
Unlucky.
genuinely, big shout out to Rui Costa and Luis Schau, because they brought in Roger Schmidt, they sold Darwin Nunez for €70 million, and they've made him a better side. But Rafa Silva, incredible.
Jonathan Beck, standout performer from Dortmund City.
I think it has to be Gregor Kobel. Saved the penalty, secured the point that sent Dortmund through.
And Kev, you've got to pick out one other player from the other games.
One of my favourites, Kai Havertz. Brilliant winner. Magnificent goal.
I'm going for Rafael Leao for running from inside his own half.
Yes.
And then scoring against Dinamo Zagreb. But Leo Messi, 2 goals, 2 assists for Paris Saint-Germain. He's still got it. OK, gents, thank you very much for joining me tonight on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live. A reminder of the teams that are now through to the round of 16 in this competition. Bayern, Benfica, Club Brugge, Chelsea, Borussia Dortmund, Manchester City, Napoli, Paris Saint-Germain and Real Madrid. It's not a bad lineup. And a reminder to join us from 6 p.m. CEST every Champions League match night for live commentary, interviews and analysis from this season's group stage. Tomorrow we'll bring you full commentary of Inter Milan versus Pilsen and Ajax versus Liverpool, plus extended updates from North London, where Tottenham Hotspur can qualify for the round of 16 by beating Sporting from Portugal. And remember to download our podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.